This is Indie Book Publishing. Indie Book Publishing is a show about new books and the authors who wrote them. It's an opportunity for prospective readers to hear directly from the writers, to hear what inspired them to write and publish, and to hear all the inside details about their books. And now, Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Hot Confidence, Conscious Pathways to Take You from Mini-Me to Magnificent. And the author is Nadine Love, and Nadine joins us now on Indie Book Publishing. This interview brought to you by Balboa Press. Hello, Nadine.
Hello, Steve.
Great to have you with us all the way from Australia. Where are you in Australia?
I'm on the Sunshine Coast here, Steve, in a beautiful place called Budrum.
And the sun is shining today, even after so many even weeks of rain, you said.
It is. The sun has just come out. So, yes, bringing with you all of this beautiful Australian sunshine. Finally, and everything looks clean and fresh and ready to go. Golden. There's that beautiful golden hue that happens after days of rain. And the sky is very blue. So,
well, it sounds
beautiful to be with you.
It sounds like it just fits in perfectly to talk about your book, Hot Confidence.
Thank you. Yes, it does.
Let me read a little bit what you've written about your book. You say this, Hot Confidence is about how you can transform self-doubt and fears into confidence and self-esteem. In Hot Confidence, you'll discover how to engage your full potential, express your talents, and have the opportunities and relationships you dream of so that you can create your difference in the world. Well, those are great statements, and a lot of people would say, boy, that sounds so good, but I don't think I can do it, Nadine.
That's right, Steve. And really, I wrote this book because I feel so passionately that every single person out there, every one of you listening, has a gift, has something awesome to bring to this world. And if you know how to help yourself to look to your communication and the way that you talk to yourself, how you give meaning to your past experiences and how you can change that meaning and how you can truly clear and align whatever has been before into this present moment. So if you have the how, know how, right?
Right.
I mean, at one point, you probably didn't know how to drive a car. Perhaps many of you out there just hop in the seat now and, you know, flick on the ignition and off you go. Having hot confidence is much the same. If you know how, then you can have it and truly do what you're here on our beautiful planet to do.
Well, very well said. Tell us a little bit about your background, Nadine, and before we get into more details about your book.
Thank you so much. I have now nearly 28 years in the wellness industry. I have 30 holistic modalities was my background, and then about 7 years ago now, I really upskilled, and I got into the very latest in positive psychology and neuro-linguistic programming and coaching and executive coaching. And I've trained and educated and studied with the very best mentors in the world. And now I'm very interested in futures studies. And why that's all relevant is that I have been passionate ever since I was a tiny girl, a little girl, about helping people to be able to be well and happy and have a great relationship with themselves, with their bodies, with their lives, in order that this world can be a better place. So my drive to help people has really shaped my studies and my work. So my life work, in essence, has been poured into this book and workbook and another volume to come in order really to help people. So most recently, I train coaches and trainers, and in essence, that's where the book was born. When I realized, you know, it isn't about all the strategies for creating businesses and that's not it. What it always comes down to with people is how we feel about ourselves, our self-esteem, looking to the way that people self-sabotage and procrastinate, and stop themselves from really living into their health and happiness, their joy. And that may be about wealth. And I guess when I touch on wealth, I'm talking about, you know, Deepak Chopra has a wonderful way of talking about wealth in terms of the great experiences, the meaning you have in your life. It may, of course, be financial, but to have every day matter in some way, and for you to feel good about waking up in the morning, and it's as basic as that sometimes. So I have devoted my life to understanding how to help people to do that better and better. And that's really what the book's about.
So many people are their own worst enemy. How do they start thinking differently?
That's really nicely put. Well, the first is to understand and be thankful for the fact that we can actually change how we feel and what we make our lives mean in a moment if we know how. And a lot of that is to do with attributing meaning. You know, Steve, when I've thought about this, we can be responsible only for three things truly when we're thinking about how to take our lives forward. And those three things are our thoughts, the meaning we give those thoughts, and our response to those thoughts. So if you can go a long way to adjusting how you think and what it is that you make things mean and what your responses are to your life, then that goes a long way to changing how we are. I guess, you know, I'm very, very aware the last 3 weeks have been torrential rain here. And there were so many people, you know, who I chatted to who were really mad about the rain. You know, oh, it's another day of rain and that means this. And, you know, we're going to, I'm so gloomy when it rains. And truly, we're very spoiled here on the coast with our weather. And there were other people who were so grateful, you know, as they saw their tanks filling, water tanks filling, and the greens, the shades of green are so much brighter against the gray. And while the rains hit hard in some areas, we noticed how communities pulled together. So that's just an example of, you know, two sets of people experiencing the same rain and yet making that rain mean such different things. And that's how we are with the experiences in our lives. We can develop ways of being truly positive, naturally positive about our experiences, however traumatic they were in the past, and choose to make different choices that serve us in terms of where we want to go in our lives. So I hope that helped.
Definitely, definitely. It's so easy for us to blame someone else or something else instead of taking responsibility ourselves. We have all the freedom in the world to do anything we want, but we seem to just kind of throw up these self-made roadblocks, don't we?
We totally do. And you asked the first step and in your previous question, and the first step is truly to be compassionate with ourselves and to understand that, yes, whilst we have created that set of beliefs, do you know, there's this wonderful sociologist called Maurice Massey, and he wrote a lot about the fact that our beliefs are shaped by experiences we had and by our responses to our caregivers before the age of 7 years old. Mm. And then those beliefs are embedded in our unconscious mind and they shape our values. And unless we can bring those into a conscious space to choose how we would like to be, we're walking around in an adult body, driving our lives in the cockpit of a plane or a helicopter that was shaped before we were 7 years old. So that's a pretty sobering thought. And that coupled with the fact that 93% to 96% of our behaviors and our responses are driven by our unconscious minds, that too is pretty sobering. So it's time too for those people who are noticing in their lives, if you're out there thinking I'm not having the relationships I want, you know, my life isn't panning out the way I'd love to live it, please understand that you're responding out of a place that was shaped in your early childhood, and that can be changed, that you can alter deeply and in a moment this patterning that was set there for you. So be compassionate with yourself, and then, you know, galvanize into action and go, okay, I really need to do something about this.
You may hear people say, I've got confidence, I'm confident, but you take it to a whole new level. We're talking about hot confidence. What is hot?
Hot. Well, you know, do you know that there are people in life, or sometimes leaders or people you know, that are magnetic, that just seem to be effortlessly alluring. People want to hang out with them. They want to be around them. That, for me, is hot confidence. And in my book, I've unpacked how you can become that magnetic and that attractive and that alluring. So, yeah, that's hot. You know, hot is attractive, in your zone, being in a space where you're in your flow, where you really are competent and confident and passionate about something. And often that's driven by having a really, really big why. You know, it was Nietzsche that spoke so well or wrote so well about the fact that, you know, if your why is big enough, the how takes care of itself. And it's that kind of passion, that kind of, you know, you really know that you need to do something. And most often it's not about you is the secret here. Most people who've done much in the world, you know, whether you look at even, I don't know, I think it's Mahatma Gandhi, Steve Jobs, I don't know who you'd like to look at in the world. These are people, Tony Robbins, who's a great mentor of mine. These are people whose passion comes from a place of wanting to make a difference in the world. And so part of what the book is about is helping you to find that, because when you discover that it's actually much bigger than you and that we're part of a whole, you have company, so you know that you belong in a set of people who are driven to do the same, and it becomes easy to have that kind of hot confidence.
So we literally can become that person we aspire to be.
Yes. Yes, you can.
And not just on paper. We can literally transform.
Yes, and Steve, I know that not just because of my many, now thousands of clients. And I want to just share, this is a beautiful thing. Just a couple of days ago on my Facebook came a client, or in fact she's attended a practice group and she's been following my book and tele-seminars that I run that are gifted. They're free if you buy the book. She's been following those, and she was in a real hole in her life. You know, she'd really was at a fork in the road. She'd hit a dead end. Her relationship had ended, her work life, she'd taken voluntary redundancy. Her work life really had, you know, crashed out on her, and she was in a dark hole a few months ago. And she just put on Facebook, Nadine, I have found myself in the last week since doing your program, I have found 5 new clients, and I'm so excited to understand my mini-me. And she said, that rocks, ! So she is setting herself up, and she truly was in a hole, and that's quite fast. You know, from my own life, I really know how to get from fear to fabulous, or how to transform bone-numbing, immobilizing self-doubt into dreams come through. Because I've been there. You know, I've been at the butt end of broken relationships, of extreme illness, life-threatening illness that I write about in the first chapter of my book, actually. Of even, and I hope it's all right to share this out there on the radio, you know, I got myself into a space where for 7 years I was in a relationship, even though I had so much knowledge and awareness, and I felt so ashamed to share this, you know, where I was being beaten. I was beaten during my pregnancy by my daughter's father. You know, I was very severely hurt, physically, emotionally, and mentally, and climbed out of that, you know, and have created and recreated my life many times over, and have finally, you know, in the last years come to an understanding of self and others, from my own experience, as much as all of that study and working with people, you know, truly, one morning I woke up and I was so shattered I didn't know how to dress my baby. I was in such a hole, and so shattered. So, truly, you know, when I speak to all of you out there, I'm speaking from having walked the walk, you know, having been so low, and then having recreated and found a way, more importantly, to help others also to know how to wake up joyful and how to create a difference in the world. And that extends now way, way beyond me. You know, my clients are making a difference in the lives of theirs, and friends making a difference in the lives of theirs. And as you stand up to have hot confidence, you'll notice that your beloveds, the people closest, your children, your mum and dad, your friends, will find you a light and a luminary and an example as you step more into who you are. So that truly is your gift to the world.
Well, everyone, this is a breakthrough approach to learning self-esteem. The title of the book, Hot Confidence, Conscious Pathways to Take You from Mini-Me to Magnificent. And we've been listening to Nadine Love. Nadine, tell us how to get your book.
Beautiful. You can hop on to hotconfidence.com. So easy, hotconfidence.com. And you can grab your copy. So that's hotconfidence.com.
Doesn't get much easier than that.
That's right.
Well, thank you so much, Nadine, for being with us and sharing all of your excitement and determination and your hot confidence with us.
Thank you, Steve. It's been a joy. And love to you and to all of your beautiful listeners out there. Thank you.
And this interview has been brought to everyone by Balboa Press.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Get ready to live La Bella Vita with Dawn Catherine on Toginet.com. Live La Bella Vita. If you're wanting to know all the beauty tricks of the trade and the latest fashion trends before everyone else, this is your show. If you admire celebrities' beauty and their fashion sense, this is your show. Do you love wine and want to know more about the process it takes to make wine from the vine to the bottle? This is your show. Live La Bella Vita. For more on the show and your host, check out our website, labellavitacosmetico.com. This is the kind of show you can sink your teeth into. If you enjoy traveling and food and family, all with an Italian flair, then you can live La Bella Vita with your host, Dawn Catherine. Wednesday nights at midnight, 11 p.m. Central on toginet.com.
Mark Lipinski is coming to TogiNet. It's Creative Mojo with Mark Lipinski. A live two-hour show Wednesday afternoon starting at 3, 2 Central on toginet.com. Creative Mojo. It's fun, entertaining, informative, inspirational, and illuminating. Lipinski has worked on such shows as Oprah, The View, The Joan Rivers Show, and Ricky Lake. He's busy, but he's got the drive to share with Creative Mojo, dedicated to the modern crafter and crafting lifestyle. Dive into the info and enjoy everything from celebs to entertainment news to recipes, quilting and needlework, knitting, painting, woodworking, Christmas crafts, and so much more. This show boldly encourages you to discover and harness your own creative spirit by living creatively every day. For more on Mark and the show, check out marklipinski.com. Don't miss the fun. It's Creative Mojo with Mark Lipinski, Wednesday afternoon starting at 3, 2 Central on toginet.com.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Honey, If You Leave Me, I'm Going With You. 10 Points to Create and Maintain a Healthy Marriage. And the author is Daniel O. Abreu. And Daniel joins us now on Indie Book Publishing. This interview brought to you by Westbow Press. Hello, Daniel.
Hello, Steve. I'm very excited to be here talking with you.
Well, we're grateful that you're here, and you've got a lot of great ideas and a great story to tell about how this book came about, and you're certainly dedicated and you've come a long way, and you're here at this point in this journey called life, and you feel you're doing just what you're supposed to be doing, right?
That's right. I'll tell you what, about 30 years ago, I went to a seminar, and I was like one of like 3,000-4,000 people, and there were many speakers there, inspirational speakers, all kinds of different speakers, the best ones from the country. And I remember this one particular speaker say something that I'm not even remember for sure, but when this guy left, I do remember thinking, man, that is a good guy right there. And it just made me feel good knowing that somebody was trying to do the right thing. And I, you know, in my mind, I thought kind of like, wouldn't it be nice to be able to do that someday, be able to be that guy for somebody else? And somehow the idea started for me to do some speaking, and I joined the Dale Carnegie course. Then I did the Toastmasters, and I got invited to speak for a group, actually, a nonprofit organization called Mother Against Drunk Drivers, because they were just looking for speakers, and I joined them. I took the opportunity. That was 16 years ago. So between the nonprofit organization and opportunity that I had to speak in front of other companies and churches and high schools and colleges and whoever invites me to speak, I have done over 800 of these lectures. And couple years ago, for instance, I was coming back from one of these lectures, and I was so excited. It was late at night. I had a couple-hour drive, and I'm thanking God. I'm saying, God, this is so awesome that you gave me the opportunity to do something that I love to do and be able to help people. The people responded that night like never before. Everybody was so excited, and I said, I would like to be able to reach more people, and how can I get to the next level? And at that moment, Steve, I kind of heard a voice. I don't know if it was in my head, but I heard a voice that said, write a book. And I was like, what? And I heard it again, write a book. And it kind of like took me over a year that every time I was doing something, whether it be taking a shower or driving, and I had a question in my mind, that same voice kept saying, the book, the book. So it took me over a year for me to actually think and say, you know, I think somebody's trying to tell me something. And that's how the book started. And at the beginning, the book was supposed to be about inspirational. I talk a lot about the physical, mental, and spiritual part of life. But then I realized that we have a lot of experience in marriage. My wife and I had we've been married now for 33 wonderful years. And I said, you know, why not try to share some of the things that took place in our marriage that hopefully we can help other people that want to know about it. So all of a sudden, the book became inspirational, but also I came up with 10 points that I believe are necessary to create and maintain a healthy marriage.
Well, you call your book 3-in-1. It's a love story, a marriage guide, and a way to maintain even a healthy physical, mental, and spiritual life. So you've kind of got it all into one, but there's separate areas that we can work on.
That's right. The first one is the story, because my wife and I, basically, we know each other almost since we were born, because we both are from Uruguay, South America. My mother and her mother were teenage girlfriends. They used to live in the same street. Both of them got married. They have kids. So we actually were born and basically in the same street. After when she was about 9 years old, her family moved from South America. She came to the United States to improve themselves, to a better life. Now, 4 years later, they went back, like a lot of people do. They go back to visit their relatives, their friends. And by now, she was 13 years old. Now, it was typical back then in our country when somebody that you know will travel, either come from another country or leaving, you know, we will go to the airport to greet them. So my family actually went to see them when they came back, you know, 4 years later to visit. And it was at that time at the airport and that I saw my future girlfriend at the time. that I saw her, and it was, I believe, was love at first sight, and she told me for her it was the same thing, because it was like, wow, you know. And then they were there for like 6 weeks visiting. Now, a couple weeks into their visit over there, we got to see each other a couple of times. I really got to like her. I don't know. I was 14. She was 13 at the time. I got the courage to ask her if she wanted to be my girlfriend, knowing that she was coming back to the United States. So she said yes, and a couple of weeks later, she came to the United States. Everybody, all the relatives, family, everybody was saying they're going to forget each other. They're too young. They barely know each other. Now, back then, Steve, we didn't have internet. We didn't have email. I didn't even have a telephone in my own house. So we used to communicate via postal service. I send a letter to her. 3-4 months later, the letter come back.
Yeah, the old-fashioned way, right?
The old-fashioned way. So by the time she finished high school, and I had finished high school, her father asked her, do you really want to see Daniel? Would you like Daniel to come over and visit? I mean, it was just to see if we were truly in love or what happened. You know, mm-hmm. Those were 5 years that we didn't see each other. And she said, yeah, I would like to see him. So they invited me to come over, and I came over. I was 19. She was 18. And after 5 years, as soon as I saw her again and at the airport, when I came to this country, it was like we never left each other. So that's our love story. And every time I tell the story, people say, man, that should be in a book. That should be in a movie. For years they've been telling me that. So that's why I started the book, putting our love story. The second part of the book is the 10 points to create and maintain a healthy marriage. And I came up with 10 points that I believe are necessary to create a healthy marriage. I look around the things that we have done. I look around what other people are doing. And I believe this is not a gospel of marriage. There may be other things, but I believe these are things that that if you pay attention to them, they can really help you in your marriage. Whether even if you have a good marriage, it can make your marriage even better. Or if you're not married, I'm thinking, you know, what would it take to get married? Because I believe a lot of people today are very scared of the word marriage. And I came up with this 10 points that I believe are going to increase your odds for a healthier marriage. Now, you may know 3, 4, 5, 6 of these points, but if you find one or two that you didn't think about it, and now they can help you, that could be what makes the difference. And the third part of the book is what I always been talking about. We as humans are physical, mental, and spiritual. And I believe that we need to be physically, mentally, and spiritually in shape for us to have a good chance in our lives. So I go on into explain what does it take to be physically in shape? What does it take to be mentally in shape? And what does it take to be spiritually in shape? So that's what composed my book. Those are the three parts, Steve.
Well, it sounds like a great guide. And at the same time, as you point out, with a lot of passion, it takes work, doesn't it? If you're going to have something great in your marriage, it isn't just going to happen by itself.
Absolutely. I tell you, even today, we've been married 33 years. I mean, it's been a honeymoon for us. But we have our difficulties too. I mean, everybody's going to have difficulties, but we are always working on it. Even today, if somebody comes up with a book or there is a seminar in improving your marriage or how to improve their relationship, guess what? We go, we buy the book, we look at it. We are always learning. We always want to learn how to improve ourselves. We want to make the best out of our time together.
So it's really important, probably more than just important, it's just essential, it's critical to maintain a positive attitude.
Absolutely. Attitude is everything. I say there that attitude is going to determine your altitude. We have two voices. We have the positive voice and the negative voice. I believe the one that you feed the most is going to become the strongest, and it's going to be very determined in your life. If you are surrounded by negative and you put a lot of negatives in your life, and your strong voice is going to become very strong. And then What happened is every time you have an opportunity to do something, maybe start a business or get a promotion or ask for a date or something that you want, that negative voice is going to influence you. It's going to put you down. It's going to tell you, what make you think that you can do that? What make you think you can get that job? What make you think you can do this business? Remember what you did 10 years ago, what you said that you didn't do. But if, on the other hand, Steve, we concentrate and we look for positives in our life and we try to plant positive seeds in our mind, what we are doing is feeding our positive voice. Now that positive voice is going to become like a cheerleader to you. And when you go for that job, when you go for that business, when you go for that date, or you go for something big, that positive voice is going to influence you. It's going to say, yeah, go for it. Why not you? You can do it. Go for it.
How do you keep the mental part of your life in shape? What do you do?
Well, what I do is very simple. I stay away from anything that is negative as much as I can. The media is a fantastic way of learning. There is a lot of great things that we can, like, for instance, watch on TV, but there are certain things that you have to stay away. For instance, you should totally stay away from the news. They should be called the negative news. There is nothing, absolutely nothing positive when you're watching the news. A lot of people go to bed, before they go to bed, they say, I have to watch the news before I go to bed. And I say, why? You don't have to watch the news. If something really big happens, I tell you what, somebody's going to tell you about it. You don't have to be watching the news. Have you ever watched the news and felt good about yourself and about life and stuff? And the answer is no. So, you know, stay away from it. But what we need to do is find things that are positive. We need to find good books that are going to inspire, that are going to help us. You know, the negative is always going to be there. The negative is free. It comes to you in abundance. The positive, you have to go get it. Luckily, you know, we got great books. We got great seminars. We got great CDs and tapes and MP4 now. But you have to keep feeling the positive to be able to stay positive in a negative world that we live.
And on top of that, you advocate that we need to be grateful.
Absolutely. The number one way, Steve, to be happy in life is to be grateful. If you see somebody that is always upset and negative, and I can guarantee you that person is ungrateful. Being grateful means, you know, I understand we go through difficulties in life, but always try to look at the positive side. When you wake up in the morning, we all, you know, I get up early, sometimes 5 o'clock in the morning, and I wish it was 3 o'clock so I could sleep in a little longer. But the moment I realize that I'm awake, I say, well, thanks God I am awake. You know, imagine if you missed it. That means you're gone. So from that moment, I start thinking of things that are, that I can be grateful, whether it be I am healthy, I have a home, I have a family, I have a job. I live in the United States of America. Woo! That does make you feel great. So I'm always looking for things that I can be grateful. And if you get up in the morning and you can count 8, 9, 10 things that you are grateful, I guarantee you, you're going to have a hard time to have a bad day.
Well, this is your story. It's a love story. And this book, as you put it, comes from your heart.
Yes, it is. It's a simple book. Don't expect to find nothing new in it. If somebody tells you that they have something new, I don't know where they come from, because everything it's been written many, many years ago. Every time we write a book, you know what you're gonna find in it is old principles, because the principles never change. But hopefully, the way I wrote this book, it will help you understand it. It will. To see the light, to be able to see something that maybe you didn't see it before. But it's from my heart to other people's heart, and I'm very happy and excited about it. I already have been getting a lot of great response. The people that read the book are telling me, I mean, they love it because it's a simple book and right to the point. I didn't go around the bushes. I just went from one point to the next, and I hope to be able to reach a lot of people up there.
Well, it's about 80 pages, but right to the point, a lot of great principles, and right from your heart, Daniel O Abreo. For everyone, that's A-B-R-E-O. He is the author, and the title, Honey, If You Leave Me, I'm Going With You. Just great, great title. And then added on to that, 10 Points to Create and Maintain a Healthy Marriage. Daniel, tell us how to get your book.
Well, there are different ways. I have a website. It's www.happymarry.com. That is, again, www.behappymarry.com. You can also find it in Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com.
Very good, Daniel. Thank you so much for being with us on Indie Book Publishing.
Well, the pleasure is mine, Steve.
And this interview has been brought to everyone by Westbow Press.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing. And we'll be right back after these messages.
Get ready to laugh along with This Little Parent Stayed Home with Allie Loprete. Friday evenings at 6, 5 Central on TogiNet.com. This is a truly realistic, no-nonsense, tell-it-like-it-is method that will have you laughing and crying, surviving while struggling, and hammering away at the hardships as you travel through the greatest journey of your life. Get empowered by joining thousands of other parents who have also decided to take a leap of faith into a double career with longer hours and half the pay simply because of the love they have for their children. Together, we are rebuilding a new economy that will support us rather than enslave us. Never again will we have to choose between raising our children and earning to provide for them. It won't be easy, but it will be worth it. For more on Allie and her success, check out her website, OurMilkMoney.com. So come get empowered with This Little Parent Stayed Home with Allie Loprete, Friday afternoons at 6, 5 Central on TogiNet.com.
People think I've made it. I'm popular. I seem happy all the time. I have great clothes and I'm involved in everything. But I have questions, doubts, and fears, just like every other teenager. That's why I'm glad for Teen Talk Radio, where it's all about choices.
Join us for Teen Talk Radio with Nicole Odell, Thursday nights at 10, 9 Central on TogiNet.com.
The choices we have to make that can alter the course of our lives. Life is too much pressure if we try to go it alone. I tune in to Teen Talk Radio with Nicole Odell every week to get reminded that I'm not alone. Nicole Odell is an expert on what happens in the lives of teenagers. Join her as she deals with topics like peer pressure, purity, drugs, alcohol, and many other things that might come up along the way. She writes books and speaks to people all over the place, but she says her favorite moments are when she can pull up a chair and chat with teens about what's important to us.
For more information on Nicole and her books, go to NicoleOdell.com. Then join us for Teen Talk Radio with Nicole Odell, Thursday nights at 10, 9 Central on TogiNet.com.
Teen Talk Radio, where it's all about choices.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Coping with Uncopable Parents, Loving Action for Elder Care. And the author is Carol Ann Hamilton, and Carol Ann joins us now on Indie Book Publishing, this interview brought to you by Balboa Press. Hello, Carol Ann.
Hello, Steve, and welcome to your audiences. I'm so thrilled to be with all of you today.
Well, great to have you with us. You're going to take us into a realm that is, so challenging and pressing upon a lot of us today because the baby boomers are living longer and longer, and some of them just have a tough time with those later years, as you point out. Headstrong parents, they have different issues. They don't want to leave their residences where they've lived for decades. They, don't want to have people come in and help them. They feel they can handle it, right? It just goes on and on. They really want to be independent, don't they?
Absolutely.
And that's a hard age, especially when they need some help. And that's even hard on those who are trying to help the parents. But you have this great book with all kinds of trial and error tested keys to success, and we're going to get into those details about attitudes and action plans to help the elderly, especially our loved ones who are meeting such great challenges in life at this time in their lives. But first of all, Carol Ann, tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and why you decided to write the book.
Thank you, Steve. I'd love to do that. And how I got into this realm, which is a very different one for me, after 30 years working in corporate Canada in facilitation and coaching. But then I was on a consulting assignment a few years ago working with a group of teachers, thinking that that was the purpose of my being there at a time when my mother's physical and other states of being were rapidly declining. And I wandered into a conversation with a group of teachers who were truly yanking their hair out in frustration, dealing with the extremely difficult challenges of their own elderly parents. And all of a sudden, one of them piped up and said, "Carol Ann, we see your next book for you," because I had been sharing my own challenges. And it really made me think. I was so glad to know I was not alone in the world dealing with these matters, but also that really sparked my writing of an impossible parents questionnaire, 10 points that took me less than 10 minutes to write because it was proving to be extremely difficult with my own mother and father already, and it only grew worse. So I was ignited into doing this very different and meaningful pathway for my work in the world just through that one conversation alone.
So your book is filled with different keys to coping, different keys to success and dealing with these great challenges of elderly parents. Why don't you give us a couple of them, kind of share some details of, you know, how we can do a better job helping our parents.
Indeed, right, because I can squarely say, Steve and everyone, that I have contended with every possible scenario, particularly at the hands of my father as he declined and passed away in August of 2012. And if you had a stubbornness scale of 1 to 100, I'm sorry to say my dad was probably about a 500 plus. And so it was really through in the trenches experience that I developed what I call the 6 loving attitudes and the 6 focused actions that can help you prevail with even the most infinitely pig-headed, if I may say, of elderly folks. And living in North America, as many of us do, we know that ours is a society very much focused on doing, almost doing so much that we take any action just for action's sake. But actually, all important manifestation of our goals, in this case to see our elderly parents through successfully to their transition, is founded upon states of being first. In other words, we be or are certain qualities. We embody those in order to then take effective action and have the results that we seek, namely to have rested in the tranquility and peace of having done everything that is ultimately our quest for our aged loved ones. That is why my keys to coping begin with loving attitudes and the importance of qualities like laughter, where you can find some humor in the situation, where you can make it a little lighter from time to time during an extremely grueling chapter that is nothing short of a marathon in scope, where you can find some openness to alternative perspectives and stay graceful in the process so that you can take the actions of things like really holding the space for both your parents to move through this final life's journey, shall we say, in themselves with a degree of grace and ease, because you will be called upon to advocate for them at various points, to clarify what's really important for them, and to innovate, because you who have truly uncopable parents know that you have tried everything possible to contend with them, and still you find that they are just very pig-headed to deal with. So you don't need pat answers or trite responses. You need some innovative thinking to really go out of the box in dealing with them.
And I really appreciate these six loving attitudes, because I'm sure often that left behind spouse, as they may feel, the other spouse is passed away, and they are just often just tired of living, aren't they? Alone.
Absolutely.
Especially alone.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they are, Steve. And that happened in my parents' case, in my aunt and uncle's case. There are many long-term married couples who often transition within a very short period of time of one another. And even though my own mother's decline was not unexpected, it had been going on for literally a decade, still, when the day arrived that she passed in April of 2010, it was shocking. And my father, having been quite the man about town, driving to grocery stores and gardening centers and being out and about and interested in the world, did begin his own slow decline once she had passed away. And that really became exponential as we moved through 2012. So it's a chapter of life that is exceptionally trying on everybody concerned.
So as you point out, these six loving attitudes are laughter, openness, vibration, intention, neutrality, and grace. Now you have these other six focused actions, and we got advocate, clarify, trust, initiate, observe, and innovate. Why don't you share a couple, sounds like action items here. We've got to stay focused on love, but then we also got to take some action. So why don't you share a few things out of that group, those six focused actions?
Indeed, right. It is always a balance between the attitudes that accompany us throughout this process. But then when we take action, we need to be really clear about how we act. And perhaps I could cite the example in terms of action of what I call the lost glasses episode. There are several of my stories that are true and real, no matter how incredible, with my father in the book, along with others, stories, challenges, lessons learned, tactics used. And so here we are, one day that I was phoning him, because we would speak every day for probably at least an hour. And in a panic, my father recounted that he had carefully set aside a number of eyeglasses. Now, this is where humor kind of comes into it, Steve and everyone, because my father would have probably been about 88 at the time this occurred. And he had a wide variety of glasses for driving and other purposes. But in the mix, there were some old hockey glasses, as well as some sunglasses he hasn't used for decades. And he became very alarmed that he had set them so carefully aside, and now they were gone from the counter on which he had carefully placed them. So in a panic, we were talking about this, and he said, "You know, Carol Ann, I am just sure that somebody has come into the house and carried them away. This is not the first time that I have heard such an example. Other friends and colleagues who contributed to the book said the same thing to me. The elders sometimes get very nervous and suspicious." And so we really needed to talk it through, and I calmed him down with a loving attitude where I just said, "Okay, Daddy, let's just think it through, and when I call you tomorrow, maybe you and I can both give some thought to retracing your steps, and I'm sure together we can figure out where they are." Okay. But then it turned out that he was still needing to be talked down, as it were, from his anxiety. And so he said, "Well, I don't know, because I'm just, you know, maybe somebody took them away while I was reading my books at nighttime or something like that." Now, my father had a tendency to maintain various piles of items around him so that he would always feel like he could keep track of them. I was already suspecting the answer to exactly what happened, namely that when we talked the next day and he was convinced, as we signed off, that maybe even some mouse had come into the house. I am not kidding, you know, because that's how it can sometimes be with the elders. And yet when he called back and he said, you know what, I've found them. They're underneath the couch in the recreation room, and I figured out that they had probably fallen off of some of the piles he was maintaining. But, you know, I think discretion, although it doesn't show up in any of the attitudes or actions, should really be one of the behaviors we employ. Because I don't think my father would have found it funny, but I did in talking with one of my friends, that I would have wanted to have said in that moment, gosh, I hope that the reading varmint didn't carry off your book at the same time, you know? So if you don't keep it a little light for yourself, right, then when you really do take the action, it can have the effect, and that's what I write about, of really robbing you of your physical, emotional, and mental peace of mind. And that's why I'm so committed to helping those contending with unculpable parents, not culpable, unculpable, to really maintain their own sanity during this grueling chapter of life.
Now, another dramatic time, as you point out in your book, which I'm sure is so, so emotional for the, concerning their independence, it's time to surrender the car keys.
Absolutely. Boy, that is a really, really tough one. That time to surrender the car keys is one of the contributed stories, but it is one I have lived too, because my father, he was a school principal and teacher for a number of years, and during early summer vacations soon into his teaching career, he would actually drive a truck during the summer to make extra earning money during the July and August vacation from school. Thus, he maintained a 60-plus year driving record that was truly as stellar as he claimed on paper and in actuality. Yet, as we progressed through the fall of 2010, Ontario, the province of Ontario, has some driving rules where you have to renew your license after the age of 80 every 2 years, and it involves some testing. Yet, my father did not pass the test at the age of 88 anymore on the first go, as he had always done and as he had always maintained his record across the years. That was, I'm sure, very devastating to him and his ego. He drove engine mounts for the Lancaster Bombers in World War II, so you know the man had a very stellar record. Fast forward to the spring of 2011, when to this day we have not really figured out in the family some mysterious episodes in local parking lots, but we're pretty sure that he may have bumped into some adjoining cars. And so when it came time to renew his automobile insurance as well, there was a whole set of conversations, not only with the insurance provider, but also with my father, to gently urge him to start thinking about surrendering the keys. I can only say, Steve and all, that those were horrendously difficult conversations, because as you've rightfully said, they represent the surrender of freedom and independence, of letting go of the identity of being man about town. Even with an infinitely impossible father, I'm happy to say that we did come to a place where, through my loving attitudes and actions, my father did over time relent, and not after a lot of fight, I might add, but he did. And we navigated about in a very different way over the last year of his life using transit and other means available to us. So it turned out well, but that surrender of the car keys is one of the quintessential things that all of your audiences who resonate with this story know they will be contending with as well.
We've been listening to Carol Ann Hamilton. She's been sharing just a few of her 12 keys to success and helping unculpable parents. The title of her book, Coping with Uncopable Parents, Loving Action for Elder Care. Carol Ann, tell us how to get your book.
I'd love to. It's available through my website of www.carolannhamilton.com, as well as through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Balboa Press.
Thank you so much, Carol Ann, for being with us on Indie Book Publishing.
My delight and honor. Thank you, Steve.
And this interview has been brought to everyone by Balboa Press.
You've been listening to Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen. Join us again next week at noon Eastern as Steve interviews another great author.